If you will, please, at this time, go ahead and turn your Bibles to the Epistle of Paul to the 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we are looking at verses 10 through 15, and it's available on your bulletin as well, if you want to follow along there or just follow along in your Bibles. Either way, that'll be very nice. So 1 Corinthians 3, beginning at verse 10. Hear ye then the word of the Lord. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on a foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever and ever. And Father, we do thank you for thy holy word. Grant us greater understanding, Lord, in accordance with your mercies, by your Holy Spirit. And Father, we ask and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's a story back in the year 1922. If anybody can remember that, let me know. But there's a story from 1922 of a man who actually worked for the New York City Fire Department. He worked for the New York City Fire Department. You'll have to Google what those fire trucks looked like back then. But he was a well-known hero of the day. After suffering burns and blindness during one particular rescue, he had a nickname that would be attached to him for the rest of his life, and it did stick pretty well to him. They called him Smokey Joe Martin. Not Smoking Joe, but Smokey Joe Martin, because he smelled like smoke after the rescue. He was covered with soot and smelled like smoke, and so they called him that. Well, after the fire department tried using Bambi from Disney to be their mascot, and they had that for a brief period of time, permission to do that. After that, they switched over to using a bear cub, and they named this bear cub, this just, you know, made up one, they called him Smokey the Bear, okay? They named him after Smokey Joe. Obviously, Smokey the Bear. And they put the button there and make it clear for you. Smokey the Bear. And most of the time, I think now they just call him Smokey Bear on TV. But you remember the old saying, most of the kids maybe hear a little bit different now, but there's only you can prevent forest fires. And now they say only you can prevent wildfires. They're trying to be a little bit more inclusive of all the fires that you might encounter. And it was a great successful campaign. And I still remember those commercials even today. But the idea is that Joe Martin had the smell of smoke on him since he had been through the fire, and so that was the idea given to the make-believe bear cub. Just make-believe now, at first, okay? It wasn't until 1950 that a real living symbol was attached to Smokey the Bear. And this was a 5-pound, 3-month-old American black bear. Little bear cub. And they found him in the spring of 1950 after the Capitan Gap fire. Okay, that burned in the mountains of New Mexico. Well, this little cub climbed the tree to escape the fires. And his paws and his legs, they were all burned up. And he was called Smokey the Bear from that day on. So everybody thinks of the little bear cub instead of the make-believe one. But here we have a real one for us, Smokey the Bear. But here we speak of not Smokey the Bear or Smokey Joe Martin, but we want to speak of Smokey Christians. And no, not those who are engaging in smokables that they might have, but rather those Christians who have been born again, they have been trusting in Christ, but their works were not worthy of the foundation that has been laid. Okay? Their works were burned up while they themselves were saved. They were saved. Their works were gone. They suffered loss. They had no reward for their labors. Now, what works am I speaking of? Well, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And so those are the things that we walk in and are to do. Those works will not, however, works that you might do of any kind, will not save your soul. They will not save your soul, nor will they rob you of your salvation. It's not going to be weighed how many works do you have going with you, but rather, are you walking by faith in Christ? But the lack of them will not rob you of your salvation, but they can rob you of the blessing of pleasing the Master. The questions can come about, was your work for Christ? Was it done in faith? Did you desire to please God in the things that you were doing, that God has called you perhaps to do? You know that these are the things that He wants you to do and walk in, following in the path and the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. But did you desire to please God when you were doing them, or did you simply go through the motions? Well, I was expected to do it. Nobody else volunteered, so I did it. And I did this and whatever it might be. Did you go through the motions, but it wasn't on your heart really to do it? There is a difference, a big difference. So can you then smell the smoke? I know y'all watching that fly and not me, but can you smell the smoke? So let's consider here, first of all, from verses 10 and 11, of building upon the foundation. All right, now earlier, Paul had already told these Corinthian Christians that he and Apollos, just to name these two, that he and Apollos were simply co-workers in Christ, not to pit one against another. Paul is the one who planted the church there in Corinth, while Apollos came and watered it and cared for it and helped to try to make it grow. Now in verse 10, "According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building on it." And that's not a condemnation, rather, that's what's expected. Okay? Now, of course, Paul acknowledges here up front that this was all brought about by the grace of God. Because it has to be by God's grace or will not be done. Alright? This grace was revealed or manifest when Paul was sent to Corinth to plant the church there. And so it was by grace. He approached going there with fear and trembling. As you heard in Sunday school, Corinth had a population of 500,000 people. It is intimidating even for Paul, but it was by grace. And as such, it was given by God, this labor and this task. After all, that is God's work that was being done in Corinth, like it is God's work being done here at Antioch. All right. Now, Paul changes the metaphor that he had been using earlier in the chapter. He changes the metaphor from a planter now to a builder. Okay, to a builder. As a skilled, wise master builder, Paul carefully and graciously laid the foundation, and they themselves are building upon it. Now, one commentator said the whole spiritual life of the Christian is in the building process. It is the building process, all right? The whole spiritual life that you have is a building process. And so Paul is not being arrogant when he says this. He's not being prideful when he says that he is a skilled master builder. Rather, he says he is resting upon the grace of God for who he is, resting on God's grace for the calling of Christ as an apostle and the work that he was called to do there. And everywhere that Paul goes, he goes to build a church in Corinth, and that building is the congregation there. The congregation, the building of Christ here spoken. He said, "I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it." Now who, first of all, is building upon it? In this case, he mentions Apollos. Now like this, here we see, this applies not only to Paul, not only to Apollos, but it applies to all of the Christians who are there. It applies to every single one of us. We are all building on the same foundation. Okay? It was Paul's task to oversee this building process and the work that was done by the builders. The work that is being done. Is Paul here speaking about building a physical building? No, he's not. He's speaking of the spiritual building of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit, of whom Christ is here the chief cornerstone. All right? The physical church building, no. The building of the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what was the labor of Apollos? We know Apollos was a gifted orator. His language is beautiful and expressive and flowery and all this. But Paul's labor here, Apollos' labor, is to build up and to edify the body of Christ there in Corinth. Paul planted it and got it going and started it. Paul goes on somewhere else. Apollos comes in and he's building on it as well. Which is fine. That is a task that God has given him to do. And so Apollos is building upon the foundation already laid. Likewise, you yourselves are also building upon the same foundation. The same foundation. So the pastors, the preachers, the teachers, the elders, the deacons, your Sunday school teachers, whatever task you may be engaged in, you know, as a part of the body of Christ, all are building upon the same foundation. We all work together, co-laborers in Christ. And so they have a work and they have a task to do for the body of Christ. But Paul here now is addressing all Christians. Yes, at one point he's kind of addressing Apollos and the teachers and the preachers and all that, but then he becomes inclusive of all of those Christians that are there, and as well as all of us. So every Christian, every believer, has gifts from God, and they are to use those gifts that God has given for His glory and for the good of the congregation, to build one another up, to edify, to build the edifice, to edify, to build up Christ's church. And so because of this, Paul said in verse 10, he said, then, let each one take care how he builds on it. That is a warning, not only to the pastors and preachers, but it's a warning to everyone and the task that God has given you to do. How are you building upon it? He says, take care. So are you doing the work that God has called you to do? Are you exercising your gifts in the congregation, in the body of Christ, in some manner or another? Are you exercising them for the glory of God and for the good of the body of Christ? Are you doing what God has called you to do? Even those gifts God has given you by His grace? Or do you simply say, and it's easier, right? Let someone else do it. That becomes like a Christian mantra of the 21st century. Let someone else do it. And there are others who can probably do it better than I, they might say. But that doesn't get us off the hook. Because if God has gifted you in a certain way, whatever it might be, you are to use it for His glory, using it to build up the body of Christ. Remember, some will be an eye or an ear or a finger or a toe, whatever it might be. You are to exercise those gifts that God has given you for the glory of God. Because you are responsible before God for how you build. And you're also responsible before God for how you refuse to build on that foundation. We're still responsible. He's gifted you and you say, well, let somebody else do it. I'm not going to do it. But we're still accountable to build upon a foundation because God has gifted you and He's inserted you into this body of believers to express and to do those things for God's glory and for the good of your brothers and sisters in Christ. So absolutely, we are accountable. Now what is the foundation that was laid in verse 11? For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And we praise God for that. If a building doesn't have a sure foundation, what can occur? You can get cracks begin to build, tear up the foundation. You can have cracks begin to run up the side of the wall. I've seen that in Texas many times. We will go, you complain about a lack of rain, man, down in San Antonio, Texas. We could sometimes have a lack of rain for 3 months and 100-degree temperatures. You get cracks in the ground like that, riddling up across your yard, and those cracks begin, you have a foundation, a slab that begins to break up the slab of your home, and the cracks, if you have a brick house, you begin to see those bricks begin to separate and pull away, and you're like, oh man, I gotta call the whatever the guy in the phone book is who comes out and puts in the piers and begins to push all that stuff back together, and that can be a big disaster because it can destroy the whole structure of your home. All right? And so we needed a sure foundation here in our text. We need a sure foundation for the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that foundation is Christ and Him crucified. In other words, the gospel of Jesus Christ. What was the foundation that Paul, by grace, laid down in Corinth? Was it simply him himself? No, it was the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was the foundation that he laid there in Corinth. Christ and him crucified in the gospel. And Apollos comes and he builds on and he waters that seed that has been planted that is there. So the foundation was laid for the building, and it must constantly be built upon, but only in the proper way, in a godly manner, because everyone is accountable for how they do or do not build upon it. Whether for personal gain, and some want that. Whether for personal glory, some want that. And some will do it for the glory of God. And so whether done carelessly, or as a mundane task, or done with thanksgiving and joy, there is a big difference. Big difference indeed. Which leads us, secondly, look at verse 12 and 13. Everyone's work will be put to the fire. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, or you may have stubble, each one's work will become manifest. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. Now, I saw a program, maybe you've seen one likewise as well, where they have these blacksmiths that are in competition, and they're challenged to make knives and swords and axes and all this kind of manly stuff, right? But anyway, they're challenged to do that, to forge them in fire. And so they take whatever piece of metal that they were given, and sometimes it would be good steel, very good steel to work with, and sometimes it would not be so good, like tin or some of them, whatever it might be. And they would take and place the steel into the fire and get good, hot, and melting. And they'll pull it out and they begin to hammer on it. And yeah, they're sweating. It's hot in there. And they begin to pound on that thing. And then they put it back in the fire and over and over and over again, doing the hammer at some, put it in the fire, back and forth, until it is just right. And so it's just how they want it to be. And then the judges would take the knife or whatever it is, and they begin testing it, hacking away at various things, plunging it into various things as well, use it as a hammer, and trying to test it and see if it has the strength, the quality of the blade. So if they had the choice of metal, do you think these blacksmiths would choose the cheapest metal they could find? Nah, they're not going to win the contest at all. Not at all. The quality would eventually be revealed by the work that was done and what they used and how they built upon it. Okay? So even so, Paul warns here to be careful how you build on the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All that is done will be judged by God. Now the phrase here, now if anyone, means he's including every single one of us. Okay, he's including all of us, not just the pastor, elders, or deacons, but all of us. Now, if anyone builds or whatever it may be. So if you build properly, you'll have here, he says, a reward. If you build improperly, you would suffer loss. He's not saying you're going to be cast into hell, but rather he would say you suffer loss. Some will build with precious metals and stones. These are used as metaphors, okay, for things that are pure and good and all this. But they're building with things that are fit for the foundation, which is what? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ and Him crucified. A precious foundation. And if we're going to build upon this foundation, we must use things that are fit and worthy for the foundation. All right, so some will use these things. Some will build with the worthless materials. Why? It's cheap, it's easy, it's quick. But they will use wood, hay, and stubble. Things that are unworthy of the foundation. Christ and Him crucified. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Now one scholar said that the first group, those who built with precious metal and stones and all that, the first group presents the pure doctrine, the pure Word of God, the pure doctrine which is in keeping with the foundation, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that's what they're building with, the pure Word of God, the pure doctrines of Holy Scripture, building upon the foundation of the gospel. The second group stands for those that are teaching things that are unworthy of it. In other words, a foundation laid is God's revelation in Jesus Christ. The building should reflect God's revelation, His holy Word. And so the pure teachings of the Word, the pure doctrines of the Word of God are gold and silver and precious stones that edify and they build up the body of Christ. But the wood, the hay, and the stubble are those that are living a superficial, hollow Christian life, satisfied with that which is easy, with that which is perishes, that which will never satisfy, and they have no concern for their own spiritual growth, nor for the spiritual growth of others, nor for the glory of God. They aren't building properly on the foundation of the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. But all will be tested in the fire of God's judgment. Look at verse 13 again here. It said, each one's work will become manifest. For the day, by the way, that's important, for the day will disclose it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. Now on the last day, all will stand before Christ. Every single one. Everyone will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 14, 10 and 12. Here Paul writes, for we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. All judgment has been given to the Son, in John 5:22. So then, who can judge the quality of the work that's done for Christ? Can any mere fallen human being do so? No. Only Christ can do so. And He will judge that which is built upon the foundation, whether it is worthy or unfit. On the foundation. And so every preacher, yes, every teacher, yes, everyone who has ever lived will render an account. They will give an account for their work, for their words, and even the ungodly heretics on TV will give an account for what they have said or done. Everyone within the body of Christ will render an account for their deeds done in the flesh, not by faith. The fiery judgment. So talk about that day. The fiery judgment begins by our Lord testing the works that we have done. Not for your salvation, okay? But were those things done in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Were they done by faith, in faith, for Him? Or were they, we'll put it this way, were we doing those things for His glory or for our own? Do we do those things for selfish gain or in thanksgiving for His grace? There is a difference. A difference in attitude altogether. There's a difference all the way. But all will be revealed. And when it is revealed, it will be a very humbling day. Very humbling and day. Which leads us to look at verses 14 and 15, our final point. Here we consider the smell of smoke. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. So right up front, the believer, the Christian, in this passage is not being judged for his salvation. Your salvation is secure by faith in Christ. Okay, so it's not a judgment for your salvation, but His works are being judged. His works will give an account for every deed that we've ever done. And so if you're in Christ, you are and you remain saved, kept by the power of God, kept by the Holy Spirit unto that great day. The great day of the Lord Jesus Christ when He comes to judge this world. But every Christian will give an account to Christ for every word we've ever spoken, for every thought we've ever had, for every deed that we've ever done while in the flesh, while in the body. And so we have two conditions that are given for us here. If anyone's work remains, he receives a reward. Now, we're not told what kind of reward. It could be merely the well done, good and faithful servant, that pleasing of the Lord God Himself. If anyone's work is burned up, it says they will suffer loss. The reward here, like I said, is not salvation, but rather it is the Lord's satisfaction. Okay, the pleasing of God. The loss is not a Christian salvation. Okay, or rather, the reward. Okay, as a worker, he has no works remaining. They've been burned up. He tried to build on the foundation. He didn't do so by faith. And remember, these rewards. A reward is given for that which one volunteers for. Okay, a reward is given for what one... If you were, put it this way, if I hired you to do something, you gain your wages. But if you're volunteered, then it's a reward. And so some will suffer loss and some will receive reward. So as a worker, he has no works that are remaining there. They've been burned up. But salvation remains the same. Salvation is always by grace alone, through Christ alone. Okay, by grace through faith in Him. It's always the same. And so he himself, the sinner, the Christian, he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. This judgment of their works. The question again, do you smell the smoke in your own works, in your own deeds, in your own life? Are you as one that's been quoted from the Old Testament, as one that's been snatched out of the fire? Yes, you're saved, but smell a little smoky. Saved, yes, but everything's been burned up, and there are no reward in that sense that is given for us. Okay, will your works then, will they abide? Will they remain? Will they go with you into eternity? Will you receive this reward that's unspecified as to what that will be? May simply because we behold the face of our Lord and greater joy. But are we looking forward to seeing our works remain and abide? Are we building in the life of your brother and sister? Are we building them up, edifying them with the gifts that God has given you? Or are you seeking to build them up for the glory of God and because you love your brother as Christ has commanded you? Love one another as I have loved you. And so did you grow? Are you growing in the purity of God's Word? Growing in that sense, building upon the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Will you then be content to enter into glory? Yes. But will you be content to enter a tad bit smoky, if you will? And I pray not. I pray it will be our desire to build upon in a worthy manner, in a worthy manner that's fit for the foundation that has been given to us, one that's been built upon by faith, built upon by trusting in Christ alone, built upon with the Word, the pure Word of God, upon the very gospel of Jesus Christ, making Him known, and the deeper things of God, as God has opened your heart and revealed them to you. I pray that we will do so, and I pray that God will enable us to do so, and with greater effectual fervency in our lives as we seek to trot out the path that Christ has trodden for us. Father, we do thank You, Lord, for Your holy Word. And Father, we thank You for Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord. And we thank You for the very gospel of Jesus Christ, of Christ and Him crucified. And Father, we know we don't always build worthily, Lord. Sometimes we try to build with wood, hay, and stubble. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to build with gold and silver and precious stones. Lord, those things that are fit for the foundation, Lord, investing in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, seeing them built up and strengthened in their faith. Father, when one begins to have questions and their own knowledge of the gospel, Lord, that each one of us would be ready to take them aside and to build them up, Lord, as so many have done before. But Lord, forgive us and wash us clean, Father. We thank you for the cleansing blood of Christ. And Father, that this is not a test of our salvation, but Lord, of faithfulness, walking before you. And Lord, help us day by day to be faithful before you. Father, we ask and we thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's go ahead this time.